What matters about a journey is the distance or the cost of the duration of the journey. But who is with you? This determines the extent you will go. My daughters, I have given you my peace. Peace is not the absence of trouble, but it is serenity in the midst of trouble. It's only my peace that can sustain you in storms. My presence make you go through rough winds without being ruffled. I have given you my peace. And this really speak to me concerning the topic that we are about to look at this evening. This evening, we are looking at dealing with the manifestation of self. And I want it to be very interactive this evening. So I'm going to go ahead and you guys are going to be proud of me. Have PowerPoint today. No paper today.
Hallelujah.
Bless God.
Bless God. Oh.
Amen. Glory. Bless God.
Transformation.
Amen. So I'm going to go and share my screen with you now, and then we'll go into the discussion. Can you see it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes.
So yes. This evening, we are dealing with the manifestation of self, and it's taken from the Wailing Women Manual, Volume 1. So our aims this evening, we want to understand what is self, to be able to identify the various ways we operate in self or in the flesh, to understand why self cannot function in the work of Wailing Women or the church, and to know how to deal with self. So what is self? Self is defined as a nature, character, or abilities and personality that distinguishes a person from others. It is especially considered as the object of introspection or reflective action. Like, we look at nature, so we know that nature can be the beauty of the universe, but it can also be the character of a person. For example, we would say, well, she has a good nature, you know, or that is not in her nature, her character. When we look at character, it deals with the mental and moral qualities, the distinctive individual. Each of us have a different, you know, character. We operate different, we move different, we behave different. And then we want to look at abilities, the possession of the means or skills to do something, what you possess, your gift, your ability, what you can do, something that has been given to you. And all of this really just make up self. And we are all different from each other. We are all unique from each other. So we operate and we function differently. Like, for example, if your husband, if you find that your husband is behaving strange, or your wife or your daughter is behaving strange, you would say, what's wrong with you? She's not behaving like her old self, or she's not behaving like herself. And also, that is another way you can look at it. We want to look at the expression and manifestation of self. Okay, so aggressive assertiveness. A person who is pushy or who express their opinions and demand without regard for any other. You know, they don't consider anyone else. It's about them. But we also know that aggressive assertiveness can either be positive or negative. You can use it for positive, and you can use it for negative. we want to also look at self-assurance. A person who is confident, trusting in their strength and in their ability. We move on to self-centeredness, selfishness, concern only with one's affair. And I know that we know somebody, or even ourselves probably would have been in this position at some point in time of our lives, or know someone that exhibit this attitude or behavior. Being cocky. This is the illusion of thinking that we have what we need within ourselves. We deceive ourselves by thinking we don't need others. That's a truth and a fact. We want to look at self-importance. And self-importance is thinking too highly of oneself. You know, I am it. I have arrived. You know, we don't want this to be what we exhibit at all. Self-indulgent, to be ready to satisfy one's own inclination and desires. Move on to selfishness. Concerned first with one's own advantage, without care of others. Willing women must never be selfish. We must never exhibit this behavior or attitude. Self-esteem, it's an opinion of our own character or abilities. Your self-esteem may be high or it may be low. Self-sufficient, the unhealthy attitude to advance oneself at the expense of others. We must never behave as though we need no one else. Wailing women, we need each other. We must work as a team at all times. Then we want to look at self-control. For me, this one could be positive, and then it can be negative in a sense. But this would be you not having any self-control. So self-control, able to control one's behavior. It is always good when we are able to control how we behave, how we respond to any situation or circumstance. And the Bible speaks of having self-control. Self-imposed, the act of taking up tasks and duties not given by the Lord. This one here is a big one. This can weigh us down and drown our joy. Women must never take on tasks or assignments or burdens not given by the Lord. And this is one of the things that the mothers always, you know, taught us, that we must never send ourselves on assignments. We must never decide that we are going on assignments that God has not ordained or, you know, given for us to go on. We must never do it. It can be very, very deadly for us to do things like that. We see this in the church. We see it all around. We know that there are pastors and prophets and apostles who carries the title, but was not given by God. The gift was not given by God. And so we must not take on assignments, burden, or any task that God has not given us. Self-interest. A selfish desire to satisfy one's personal interests. A selfish desire to satisfy one's personal interests. Self-righteousness, showing too much pride, one's righteousness or goodness. You know, we feel that we are righteous, but the Bible clearly tells us that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. So we rely and we depend on the Lord for righteousness. You will know, like in situations you hear, she's too self-righteous. You know, so our righteousness is in Christ and not in ourselves. Self-satisfaction. When we become so pleased with ourselves that we think we have done all that we should do, we must never come to the place where we think we have arrived. It is a trap, and we must not become complacent with ourselves. It will hinder our progress, and it would only lead us to retrogression. You know, when we think that we have arrived, we would only hit square one. So we must never have this attitude or behavior. Self-seeking, working only for one's advantage, seeking only for one's own welfare. So you don't care about anybody else. You're not interested in how they're getting through. It's all about you. You're just seeking for yourself. You're just going for yourself. It's nobody else, just you. This is another one that we should never partake of. Self-willed, determined to have one's own way at all times. You know, I remember as a little girl, I could hear mommy saying to my brother, he to own way. You know, he to own way. He wanted to have his own way all the time. And this is not a good trait to have at all. Then we want to look at self-consciousness. Being too aware of one's fault, easily embarrassed in the presence of others. This one was a big one for me because I was like, cheese on. I used to get like so afraid and so ashamed. And you know, if I mess up, we're like, oh God, I mess up. And I still think that, you know, I still deal with it to a certain extent. You know, you're conscious, you're aware. Oh my God, how this is, you know? So this is something that I am still currently working out daily so that I will not be continuing in this attitude, in this behavior, just allowing the Lord to work on me. Self-discipline. This here is also another one that can be used for positive. The training of oneself to produce self-control. For me, I would have experienced, you know, spending time with God, carving out time that I can spend with the Lord, carving out time to read, carving out time to pray, you know, having that set time to be before the Lord. And it's a good discipline to have. So it is good when you can encourage yourself, when you can push yourself and say, you know what, let me go and spend time with the Lord. Let me go and read my Bible now. Let me go and do this. And it doesn't even mean only with your relationship for God. It can be in your studies, being so disciplined that you don't have to wait until somebody come and tell you it's time to go and study or it's time to go and read your book. You are so disciplined that you're able to go and do what you need to do. And it can improve what you're doing, improve your studies, and so on and so forth. Is there anyone that would like to share from the previous slide if there is any area that they would have struggled in? Anyone? All right. Why self cannot function in the work of willing women or the church? Marks of selfishness and deadly roots. Can I have Georgia to read for me 1 Timothy 6:10?
I'm going to pull it up quickly.
No problem. Okay.
Okay, 1 Timothy 6:10. I'm working with the technology.
No problem.
Okay. It says, 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows."
Can you tell me, in your own words, what this scripture is saying for you?
The scripture is saying money itself isn't a bad thing, but the love of money is a root of all evil. And from that love of money springs forth all kinds of sorrows to the person who is dealing with that issue. It says that some people craving money have wandered from the true faith. I think it's also saying that somehow there's a certain level or sense of power, maybe, that money gives. And so persons are easily kind of swayed from our faith, from the faith, believing, I guess, wholeheartedly in themselves, being able to produce.
Thank you so much. And I totally agree. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it basically leads you straight to sorrow. Straight to sorrow. And therefore, this is one of the things that we would see soon. Greed. We must stay away from being greedy. We want to look at pride. Selfishness and pride are really at the root of every evil thought and failure to do good. Another one is arrogance. So engrossed in oneself shows disregard for others, thinks nothing of hurting others or their feelings. We want to read Proverbs 6:16, and can I ask Pamela to read for me, please? Proverbs 6, 16 to 19.
Proverbs 6. Okay, for there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven. Haughtiness, lying, murdering, plotting evil, eagerness to do wrong, a false witness, showing discord among brothers.
Thank you, Pamela. Six things the Lord hates. No, seven. You know, it's an abomination. He hates a haughty eyes. And when we operate in arrogance and we think that we, you know, are it and we have arrived and we are superior to other people, we don't realize the downfall that is there for us. When we are greedy and when we show forth pride, these are all things that God hates. He hates the proud, you know. The proud has no place with him. And so greed, pride, and arrogance are, they are at the root of every other selfish behavior and attitude. And we must watch out for these foxes. We want to read Isaiah 14, 12 to 17. And can I ask Kenya to read for me, please?
Which chapter is that? I'm sorry. Hello?
It is Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 17.
Okay, give me a minute. Let me just...
No problem.
How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground. You will weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation. On the farthest side of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you staying. Is this man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdom, who made the world as a wilderness and destroy its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nation, all of them slept in glory, everyone in his own house. But you who cast out, but you who are cast out of the grave, like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through the sword, who goes down to the stone by the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot.
Hello.
Thank you, Kenya. Okay, so here we see in this example, Lucifer is talking. And what stood out to me is his five eyes. And he's saying, I will ascend above the heights or the stars, right? I will set my throne above the stars of the Most High God. I. All of this that he is planning to do, he wants to be like God. And the thing is, it is that he was made so beautiful. That was not enough. He was greedy. He wanted more. He was the covering cherub, but that was still not enough. He wanted more. He was in charge of the worship, but that was not enough. He wanted more. He was known as the light bearer, but yet that still was not enough. He wanted more. Greed was at the root of his heart. He was greedy. He wanted more. Coming out of this, we see his pride. He was so proud. Oh, I will do this and I will do that. Then we see his arrogance. He wants to be like the Most High God. He wants to sit in God's place. His arrogance, his pride, and his greed. We see rebellion. We see selfishness, self-centeredness. All of these things are coming out of this scripture. But his end would be nothing good. And the way the Lord responded to him, you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And he declared five things, and the Lord responded with five things. They that see you shall look upon you narrowly. You will be considerate. Is this the man that shook the earth? That made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? That opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nation, even all of them, they lie in glory, every one of them, in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave. His end is nothing good. And so we see from Lucifer's example, from this passage of scripture, pride, arrogance, and greed does not end well for him. We want to take a look at Ezekiel 28, 1 to 5. And can I ask Ivy to read for me, please?
Okay. Ezekiel 28, 1 to 5.
Yes, please.
It says, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus says the Lord God, behold, thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. Though thou set thy heart as the heart of God, behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches. And thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. There ends the scripture.
Thank you, Ivy. And so if even we were only saying, well, that was Satan, you know, here we see the king of Tyre, and he also is speaking of himself. He believed that he is so wise that his wisdom is even more than that of Daniel. He is superior because he has wisdom and he knows how to gain wealth. Here it goes again. He's wealthy, greed, you know, because you know how to do a thing. Now you're declaring that you are a God, but yet you are a man. He has lifted up his heart. He has lifted up his heart, you know, and God sees the heart. But his end also was not good. The Lord also dealt with him to suit. So again, greed, pride, and arrogance cannot function in the work of willing women. It cannot and should not function in the church. We know that the fallen man is governed by his desire, his self-interest. It's all about me, myself, and I. And when we look at our society now, the way it is changing, recently we saw they bring in iPads, iPhone, and the thing about it is now that you can take all the selfies you want. You know, so it's leaning to the self, to flesh, to man. But God and self cannot coexist. God always looks at the raw material, and that material is the condition of our heart. He looks at the heart. Can I have Gilda to read Jeremiah 17:9 for me, please?
Jeremiah 17:9?
Yes, please.
Okay, 1 second.
No problem.
Okay, Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?"
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's only God. God sees the condition of our heart. We ourselves don't even understand it. Every day we are trying to figure things out about ourselves, things we learn different things about ourselves, especially when we are placed in different situations. But God knows our heart, and that's the thing that he sees first, the condition of our heart. That's the raw material that needs to be worked on. In order for us to function in God's anointing, we must crucify our flesh. We must crucify ourself. We must die to self daily in order for us to experience the true anointing of God. If we don't do that, then we are going to be operating in flesh. We are going to be operating in self. And once we do that, we can affect the lives of many people. We can affect the lives of many people. I have had experiences with various church when you know that they operated in self and in flesh, and they caused people to leave the church. You know, they caused people not to go back to church, and because they were hurt in church. And so we have to be so mindful and very careful how we operate, that we don't operate in our flesh. Even with Jesus, after all the prophecies that we would have seen, heard in his word, you know, about the king, that he's to come. We read about them even before he came on the scene. At the appointed time, self rose up. Self wanted to come in, but Jesus was very disciplined, that he was able to say, "Not my will, but thine will be done." Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. There is a relationship between death and glory. And I want to ask Judy. Judy, can you read John 12, 24 for me, please? Are you there, Judy?
Yeah, sis, I'm driving. I'm caught in traffic. So I said, while I'm driving home, I will listen in. So I don't have my Bible with me.
Okay.
I won't be able to read and drive at the same time. Sorry.
No problem. That's fine.
All right.
Good. All right.
But I'm listening in.
Brenda Lee? Are you there, Brenda Lee?
Sorry about that. Yes, I am. I forgot I was muted.
No problem. Scripture is John 12, 24.
That's the Gospel of John?
Yes, please.
12 and 24?
Yes, please.
I'm reading from the King James Version. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit."
Amen. Thank you. And this is the example of Christ. Christ died so that all of us can come into glory, so that all of us can experience eternal life. One man gave up his life so that everybody, every fallen man, can be committed to him, that we can come back to him. Bought us back with a price, and that was his life. So except we die to our flesh, to ourself, we cannot be elevated in the things of God, in the work of God, in the plan of God for our lives. I want to share a video with you, so just give me
Olivia.
Yes, please.
Sherianne here. Is it where you have the seed must die first, must first die? The scripture in John.
Yes.
It turned around.
John 12:24. Yes, John 12:24. The one that Brandley just read.
Right.
So thank you for that observation. All right, so I'm going to share a video with you. So I'm going to stop this screen and I'm going to share the video. Can you hear it?
How does selfishness destroy us? How does selflessness save us? How does truly living only begin when the seed of selfishness dies? Jesus taught that self-preservation is self-destructive, and self-sacrifice is really living. Let's examine the passage where Jesus predicts his death in John 12:20-33, and his example for us. In John 12:23, Jesus announced, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Glory means magnified, honored. Yet Jesus must take a dark path before his return to glory in heaven and his message is accepted worldwide. Jesus doesn't focus on the pain of the cross, but the resurrection. We too remember Good Friday, but focus on Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Paul, following Jesus' example, wrote, "The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In John 12:24, Jesus explains that unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Germination is a miracle of creation that turns a dormant seed into a growing plant. Seeds thousands of years old have germinated. Up to a certain point, germination even brings the miracle of DNA repair, with up to 500,000 DNA modifications per healthy cell per day. The paradox of glory through shame is also a miracle. On the cross, the greatest reputation in the world was built. The greatest dishonor produced the greatest honor. Self-promotion brings shame. Self-sacrifice brings glory. If a grain of wheat dies, it produces much grain. Irrelevant church traditions must die. The message of the gospel never changes, but culture does. Typewriters, cassette tapes, rotary phones, and vacuum tube radios have come and gone. They've all died, and most companies that made them are gone. Companies that refuse to change and keep up with the new technology have died. Communication remains, but the means changes. Companies that survive are willing to change. Those that do not die. Churches must be willing to let old traditions die and change to make the unchanging gospel relevant to new generations. Self-sacrifice is real life. A seed dies and life begins. A difficult saying of Jesus is John 12:25. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Love that which is mortal and lose that which is immortal. Surrender the mortal and gain the eternal. Give up that which is dying in order to gain that which will never die. Be selfish and lose our lives. Be selfless and gain eternal life. A selfish member of the herd takes to preserve himself, damages the herd, and will die alone. One who contributes to the well-being of the whole herd preserves the herd and his own life. He who loves his life will lose it. An ecological disaster took place on Easter Island before European discovery. It was originally a very advanced civilization with such ease of growing food that there was plenty of time for astronomy and building large stone statues. Something caused a Pacific paradise to degenerate into deforestation, cannibalism, and poverty. Fishing ceased because there were no materials to build canoes or nets. A state of permanent warfare existed. Preserving the self for a day, they lost sight of the sacrifice it took to preserve their society for the long term. This is the same fault of modern civilization and its damage to the environment. In John 12:26, Jesus says, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will also be." Do we attend church as tourists or pilgrims? Tourists go out of curiosity, but not to follow Jesus. Pilgrims go to follow him. The tourist leaves church loving their life in this world and its sins. The pilgrim leaves church loving this world even less and loving Christ all the more. The pilgrim realizes that all these are cheap substitutes for following Christ. Jesus said, "If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." The honor of this world is temporary. The honor of heaven lasts forever. In John 12:31-32, Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out, and I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Who rules the godless?" Jews believed the devil ruled other nations. Jesus called the devil the Pharisees' father. The world is already condemned and its ruler cast out. Jesus later revealed, "Great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Jesus taught that selfishness destroys us. How? Selfish people are combative because they always want things to go their way, so they lose relationships. Selfish people kill their own joy by complaining. Selfish people have unrealistic expectations of themselves and others, so people don't want to be around them. Selfish people can't take criticism, but they constantly criticize others. So because of the negative atmosphere, people walk away. Selfish people make love conditional upon serving their needs and so hurt others. Selfish people lie and manipulate, so they can't be trusted. Selfish people believe they deserve the largest portion and don't consider how others feel, and so drive friends and family members away. Jesus taught that self-preservation is self-destructive, but self-sacrifice is real life. A seed dies and life begins.
Okay. So we see, and we would have heard from the video, seed must die. Flesh, we must crucify flesh in order for us to truly live the life that God has for us. Even as I was listening to that video, I remember how the Lord would have spoken to me. And selfishness and self-centeredness can be so subtle. Now, for me, I absolutely love mangoes. And so whenever I get some, I would make sure I take out about 4 or 5 good ones. And I like it to be firm and nice. And so if my husband bring any, I will go and look for the nice, hard, firm ones, and I would wash them, and I would have a bowl, and I would satisfy myself. And one day the Lord just spoke to me, and he said that you cannot do this, because although I wasn't thinking about anybody else, I didn't mean to hurt anybody else, you know, or to not give anybody one of the good ones. I just wanted the ones that were for me, the ones that I liked. So I took out the hard ones because I like them hard. I don't like soft ones. And out of that, he was able to speak to me, to cause me to see what I was doing. That every time they came, I took out the best ones for myself. And that was me operating in selfishness. And he was able to bring that to my attention. It's not all about me. So if there's 6, you could take 2 or so and leave for the others so that they can have some of the nice, firm ones. So we want to really ask God to examine our hearts, examine our lives, and to show us where we are self-centered, where we are selfish, where we are operating in arrogance, where we are too haughty, that he can deal with our hearts. Excuse me. So how do we deal with self? The cure for selfishness is selflessness, even as it just came up in the video. We ought to become selfless. When we are concerned about others rather than ourselves, when we put others before ourselves, when we are willing to sacrifice and give up for others, like what Jesus did. Galatians 6:2 speaks, Paul here teach the Galatians, and he talk about to bear each other burden so as to fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we are here to assist each other, to help each other. And in this work, we need one another. We cannot do it alone. As my great-grandmother would always say, one hand cannot clap. You need two. And so with this work of Wailing Women, we need each other in order for us to carry out the mandate and the task given by the Lord. And so to deal with self, we first need to repent. Come before God in repentance. Ask him to search our hearts. Even David did it. Search me, O Lord. You know? Search me. See every wicked way. See every wicked thought. And cleanse me. Cleanse me from every sin. Know my heart. Again, it goes back to the raw material, the heart. We must become broken before the Lord. We must die to our flesh daily. We have to crucify it daily, because our flesh always wants something. It always wants to rise up. You know, it always wants to be in that high place. Superior. We want to be arrogant. But we must be broken before the Lord, totally surrendering our will to him. Totally surrendering our will to the Lord. We must surrender. And the scriptures tell us a broken and a contrite heart, he will in no wise despise. So we must be broken before the Lord. We must become self-sacrificial. It's not easy, but it's a work in progress. And as the word from the Father's heart said, you know, it's not the journey or the distance or the cost. Is the duration of the journey. It is the duration of the journey. It's not going to happen overnight. If the Lord wanted to, he can. But for many of us, it is a lesson, and it's a process that we must go through. It's a process that we must go through. And there is a cost. There's a price to pay. So it's not going to come easy. But we must die to self daily. We must have the willingness to give up our own pleasures, our own interests in favor of others. You know, I remember, you know, is Moses. He had so many things on his plate, but his father-in-law came and said to him, you know, give out some of the work to this person, to that person. It's not everything that you have to do on your own. We don't have to do it all. So we must learn to become self-sacrificial. We must be willing to listen. Willing to listen to others. Willing to listen to our leaders. We must be willing to take constructive criticism. You know, the scripture says, training or discipline at the time never seems good. But in the end, it will benefit you. It will benefit me. Sometimes we don't always want to hear it. Most of the time, we don't want to hear it. But we must be willing to listen. We must be willing to take constructive criticism. We must put aside our own opinion for the preference of others. It's not every time you speak. It's not every time you say something. Sometimes we just have to learn to be slow to speak, quick to listen. Sometimes we just need to talk less. We want to read Galatians 6:3-4, and can I have Empress Charianne, can you read Galatians 6:3-4 for me, please? You there, Charianne?
Yes, I am. Okay, Galatians 6:3-4. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. That's from the NIV.
Thank you. And so we don't want to put ourselves in that position that we are so much better than the other person. You know, we are so superior that we can't listen or we can't follow a simple instruction that was given. We are to function in humility. We must not exalt ourselves too highly. We want to read John 10:15-18. Can I ask Annette to read for me, please?
Can you read the scripture, please?
John 10:15-18.
Okay, give me 1 minute. I'll be with you shortly.
No problem.
John?
Yes, please.
Chapter 10, verses
15-18.
Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loved me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it back up again. This command I received from my Father.
Here we see Jesus, and he is our example. It is him that we ought to look at. It is him we ought to rely on. It is him we ought to obey. And he has given the example that we are to follow. He sacrificed his life. He sacrificed himself. God gave his only begotten son so that all may come in. This is the example that we want to follow. This is the example that we want to follow. We want to be self-sacrificial, to give way to another, to help a sister along, to help a friend along. And as I look at it, what I see is when we die to self and we allow God to do what he wants to do in us, each one reach one. Because when we are taught, when we are trained, we can go into the workplace and we can share the word. We can go into the schools. We could be at the bus stop and share. And if every one of us does that, those person who eventually comes to the Lord and they do it too, then more people are going to be reached. And so we are operating in God's will. We are following after his example. He's the atoning sacrifice for all. It wasn't just for me. It wasn't just for willing women, but for everyone, so that all can come. He gave of himself so that everyone can be grafted in. We must have total dependence on God, because we can do nothing, absolutely nothing, in our own self, in our own flesh. We can do nothing. And so we really need to rely and to depend on God. Sabrina, can you read John 5:30 for me, please?
Yes, ma'am. I can do nothing on my own initiative or authority. Just as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, fair, righteous, and biased, because I do not seek my own will, but only the will of him who sent me. Amplified version.
Thank you so much. And here again, our example is saying he can do nothing of himself. He relies totally on the Lord, on his Father. What he hears is what he speaks. What the instruction that he's given is what he carries out. As daughters of the Most High God, servants in his vineyard, we must rely totally on the Spirit of God. If he doesn't move, then we don't move. If he don't go, then we don't go. We depend completely and totally on him. We must depend completely and totally on him. One of the things I love about King David is that he always inquire, you know, shall we go up? Shall I do this? Shall I do that? He always going and inquiring, God, should I do? Should I do? Should I do? And oftentimes, I mean, even with simple things, we just get up and do, and we don't ask. But we must always inquire. We must always be led by the Spirit. So sometimes we even think about simple things like going into a fasting. Did the Lord lead you into the fasting? Did he call you to the fasting? You know, it could be very, very simple things, but we still need to be guided and directed by the Lord so we don't take up assignments that he did not give, and then put ourselves in problems. So those are a few of the things that we can do to deal with self. We want to talk about building team spirit. And this one is pretty long, so let me see. Simonia, can I ask you to read 1 Corinthians 12:4-31 for me, please?
Sister.
Hi.
Are you referring to me?
Simonia, yeah.
Yes. What chapter you said?
1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 31.
Okay, just hold on, please.
Sure, no problem.
1 Corinthians 12.
First Corinthians 12, 4 to 31, oh. Yes.
Okay, 4 to 31. Okay, now it reads. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, it is given to every man to profit with all. For to one it is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self-Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is one, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body, and it have pleased him. And if they're all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seems to be more feeble and necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God have tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no sins in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God have set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles, then gifts of healings, health, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet bestow. Sorry. But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sister.
You are welcome.
And You know what jumps out to me is that everything that was read, it has one common denominator, and that is the Holy Spirit. He causes everything to function. So leaders, team leaders, and those who come down in rank, we all need to be allowing the Spirit of God to function in us and through us. I remember when I was younger, I used to always say, me, I don't want to be no leader. I don't want to be no pastor. Because you hear the Bible say, woe to the pastor, you know, the shepherd that scattered the flock. He can get beat with many stripes if he don't listen, if he don't do right. You know, and that is why it is so important for us to continually pray for our leaders, because they are carrying a great task. They must be led by the Spirit of God. So even in this work, we must pray for our leaders that they walk according to the will of God. There are various gifts and positions in this work and also in the church. And God is the one who distributes all of the gifts to whom he desires. We must understand that everyone has a contribution. I would have heard people say, you know, even in church, oh, she come to steal my thunder and he want to steal my thunder. You know, the glory belongs to the Lord. The glory belongs to the Lord. God chooses who carries what gifts. And sometimes you may see a person with a particular gift and, you know, you feel like, well, she thinks she's better than me because she got that gift. But you might not be able to handle that gift, period. The process that that person has to go through, you might not be able to carry that weight. You know, so we are not to be envious. We are not to look down on each other. We must function as the organs of a healthy body, because Christ is the head, the fullness of all things. And we are the body. And so we must function as a healthy body. If the kidneys go bad, you know what's going to happen at the end. If the heart go bad, if the brains go bad. And so within this work, one of the things that the Lord would have done with us, you know, I could say, well, we are in Barbados. So if something happened in Jamaica, oh, well, it's the Jamaicans. Well, that's in Jamaica, ain't my problem. The Lord would beat me seriously. If something go wrong in Jamaica, all of us are responsible. Every last one of us are responsible. It's not Jamaica and not us. Every last one of us is responsible. He holds all of us accountable. And so we are to continue praying each Sister Island through. We are to continue in lifting them up before God. Because as we know, none of us is perfect. And none of us have arrived. We are all learning together. We are all going through the process. He's teaching us daily. And so we must not compare ourselves to the other person. You know, when my sisters get it right, I am happy, bless God. My turn will come when the Lord works through me and when I have gone through the journey, and I will get it right at some point too. Accept the gift that he has given you and move with it. Be the best that you can be within that particular gift. All team members are important. Every last one is important, and no one is better than the other. You can be the janitor at the church. The pastor is no better than you. The same love that the Lord loves the pastor with is the same love that he loved the janitor with. But sometimes many of us don't look and see or know the background, know the journey. that before the pastor became the pastor, he was a janitor. We all go through process. And so we must not look at anybody and think, you know, or she feel that she's all that because, and look down and grumble in our hearts and take on offenses because the Lord sees our hearts. God embraces diversity. So all are not apostles, all are not prophets, all are not workers of miracles, all are not healers, all are not evangelists, all are not teachers. There is diversity, and he embraced the diversity. Everybody can be the head, everybody can be the eye, everybody can be the nose. We all have various parts, but every last one of those parts are extremely important. They're all important, and so it is needed. We need to have the nose, we need to have the eyes, we need to have the ears. Otherwise, we can't function properly. We must not compete with each other in this work. There's no competition. Instead, we must celebrate and enjoy the talents, the gifts, and the achievement of each other. Rejoice when your sister rejoices. Be happy when they achieve something. Like, it was very fussy tonight that I was able to do this PowerPoint by myself today. You know, well, not today, but I was able to work on it. For me, this is an achievement because this is not my area, but the Lord is helping me. And so we must celebrate each other. We must enjoy each other. We must encourage each other. We must help those who are coming alongside us. There are some of us who like to be in the background. We could bring them forward and take the back seat. There are some people that they probably speak at the Mother's Day celebration and they want to speak every year. They don't want to give anybody else a turn or a chance. Always want to be in the limelight. But sometimes it's good to just take the back seat and give somebody else a chance. We must not compete with each other. We must function in unity. In unity. There must be oneness. We must move as a family. We must move as a family. And that's one of the beautiful things that I see, you know, the mothers, how they operate with each other. I remember when we went to St. Vincent a couple years ago, Mama G, she usually likes to get her hair cut. So I would cut her hair and style it for her. And after one of the sessions, she decided to go into town and she took me with her. It was me, her, and someone else. And we went into a store and I was able, a beauty salon, and I was able to cut her hair and style it using the person's stuff. And when we got back to the hotel, Mama Glory was livid. And she disciplined, she scolded. I was there shaking in my boots. Because if you know Mama Gloria, she's strapping, she's big, she's tall. And she disciplined Mama G. Now, Mama G could be my mother. She's a mature woman. And so can Mama Gloria. And you would think that Mama G may just fly up and tell she off. She did not. She sat down and she listened. And Mama Atim came in and put in her two cents. They did not agree with the fact that she went to get her hair done, but she took me along and the other person. She was scolded. You know, so we really have to operate as a family. Be willing to listen. Be willing to take instruction, correction, put away selfishness, self-centeredness, and avail ourselves to the Lord. It is not going to be easy to do it, but it is doable. It is very possible. So I am going to open the floor now for any questions, comments, experiences you might want to share, or observations that you may want to share. You could go ahead and start doing that. Now you could just turn on your microphone and go ahead and start sharing. Don't go all at once. No questions, no observation, no comments, no experiences.
I have one question, please, Olivia.
Go ahead, Sabrina.
From early on, the term abominations. Mm-hmm. Exactly what is abominations? I just need to be very clear on that, please.
Well, for me, abomination, that means like you are written off. And this is my own words. I believe that it's like you're written off. God hates it so much that, I mean, to give you words is that he is so livid. It's distasteful. You know, it doesn't sit well with him at all. It brings him to that place that he would cut you off. It's an abomination. That's my explanation. If anybody else has any, they could go ahead and share.
Olivia, good evening all. This is Kenya. I like that you said, that persons who are just joining and who may be a little timid, it's a process that we go through, and we just take our time because God has assigned something to each person. So even though we may see somebody that is always out there, and that's the gift that God gave them, and, he gives all of us certain gifts. So in Wailing Women, even if you're feeling a little timid or shy, just being there and observing and learning and absorbing. For me, I'm like a sponge. I take in everything. I mightn't say much, but I take in everything that is said and I use it daily. So in one of these days, I'll be up there because I'm learning. I'm learning as you speak, even though I don't say much or I mightn't interact as much, but I'm absorbing everything that is said. So, for us that it just encourages me to know that, God think about everything. He knows that it's a process and we have to learn. And, he's going to bring us there and he's going to put us where we need to be. But it's a process and everything is a process. And he will get us to where we need to be as long as we stay with him. And as long as we carry out the way Wailing Women are meant to be, knowing the heart and following the instructions and being the Wailing Women that God have us to be, we will be A-okay.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that, Kenya. That really means a lot. And hearing it coming from you, because this is not my comfort zone either. It is only this year that I have been, placed in this position. And so the Lord is working through me. And I know I would have said it many times. I love to be in the background. I like to hide in the background. But the Lord decided this year he was going to bring me out. And no matter how I tried to hide, I was always still spotted, so to speak. So I would be the one that would sit down and don't say anything unless, it's a real burden. And even sometimes I would try to hold it back. But the Lord is really working on all of us. Because every last one of us has a word in our mouth, whether it's a song, whether it's a Bible teaching, whether it's a sermon, whether it's a prophecy, all of us has something that God has imparted. And it's not for us. That's just the thing. You know, it is for someone else. And I do believe that there are people out there waiting on me. And there are people out there waiting on you. And likewise for everybody else on the platform. There are persons out there who are waiting on us. That thing that God has imparted, that he has put in, that he is instilled. So I am still learning. I am really, really still learning. And every time that I have to do it, I have to, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You know, but he's helping me. And eventually, I will get there.
He does a good job. Good job. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So thank you so much for that.
Hi, Olivia. I would agree with Kenya that you're doing a good job. I actually was going to comment and say that I'm seeing some confidence, and I like to see that with you. So I was like, yes, that's what we're talking about, Jesus. Yes. I'm seeing the confidence, that I like to see that. This particular chapter or study is very special to me because in this particular season that I am in, because I've been reading this chapter a lot. Because, you know, I'm going back to the first part of your presentation where you asked about, you know, the struggles and stuff. For me, one of them is the self-consciousness to some extent. There's still a bit of that sometimes. You know, you feel to shrink back. And I know that God has called me to be in the front, for sure, without a doubt. But sometimes it's like, you know, you kind of doubt yourself. And because you don't want to seem, you know, you don't say anything. So when you had asked earlier, I wanted to say something, you know, but I was like, okay, should I wait? And because I don't want to be the one always talking, you know what I mean? So that's something he's working on. The other big thing for me is the self-sufficient. This is something very huge that the Lord is working on because I am very much an independent person. I am fiercely independent. And last season here, God has been breaking that like mad. He has been breaking it down. I'm telling you, he has been breaking it down because I have brought it into my relationship with him. You know, where I think that I don't need to, I think I know so much that, you know, I don't go to God to ask him, what is his opinion about something, you know, it's just, yeah. So, the Lord is really working on that, and he has broken it down big time because of certain things I have gone through. Over the last year, it has, trust me, brought me down to a place now where I'm a totally different person. Mm-hmm. And he's still working on that aspect because I tend to have a bit of an independent streak. Mm-hmm. And especially when it came to money and stuff. And so because I don't have a lot of it at the moment, and so every single time I need something, I have to go to God with it. I write it down on a list and I literally have to go to God. Whereas before, when I had money, I just pick up myself and if I feel to buy it, I feel, yeah, no more of that. So God has really been dealing with that side of me. And even the side where I'm a person, I don't like to ask people for anything. I really don't. I am one of those silent sufferers. You would not know that I am suffering unless I tell you. I just don't like to ask people for nothing because people can be so funny sometimes. I guess it's a fear or something, but it's also pride. Yes. And I think from the moment I landed in Trinidad, that is one of the things the Lord has been working on big time. Mm-hmm. Where I have to, so I've learned now, okay, if I can't deal with something, I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to ask, no matter how embarrassing it may be, and especially when it comes to money or something, if I need help with something, in terms of money, that is a hard thing for me. I don't, Lord Jesus, help me. But he's helping me a lot. Last thing I would say is on the whole thing about unity, it really is so important for us to understand that we are all different and we all have different gifts. God has gifted each of us differently, and there is absolutely no need for competition. I think for me, my greatest example of this was recently when we had a prayer call that lasted for how many hours? I don't know if you remember that, but that was like sometime in August or something. And they were about to do the Courts of Heaven thing for Barbados and stuff. They were praying for Barbados. And I was saying, this was my favorite part of the call, because I saw, like, you know, the different gifts working, you know, people were praying and whatnot. And then the seers, they were the one who was seeing what was going on in the court, and they came back and reported. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is what we're talking about. I like to see that kind of thing. I like to see that when we work together and, you know, everybody's in their place, they know their place, and they're doing what they're called to do. I love to see that. So that was like my favorite part of that prayer call. I'm no lie, it was absolutely my favorite part. So that's all I have to say. Now I will shut up.
Thank you so much. And I really understand, because I too, like before, when I was working, you know, depending on people was never a thing that I did. I worked for what I wanted and spent it how I choose to. But then when, you know, the tables turn and you have to really rely on others, then it becomes hard. And I do understand not wanting to ask. I had that issue. But, you know, years later, I found out from scriptures on the Bible, say, you have not because you ask not. And then it talks about ask and it shall be given. So I started, you know, I developed the attitude, well, the Lord told me to ask, so I can ask. So I had to come to that place, you know, of just stepping on pride and moving forward and start asking for help when I needed it.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Olivia, I have to commend you, because the very first time I heard you, I was listening to a professional, and I'm hearing you to saying tonight that you were a little fearful and the rest of it, but you have been doing a good job. I told you so the very first time I listened to you. I said, boy, she knows so much. You know, you talk like somebody that is there for quite a while, and you were so accustomed with that. But that is the gift the Lord has laid upon your heart. You know, and we as believers, you know, we have certain gifts in our lives, but sometimes you see fear has crippled a lot of believers, because God has called us to different areas, but because we are so fearful, he said he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And that power that he has given us is the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. So I believe we have to learn to put fear on the side and move to the different areas that God has called us to minister, or to be what he wants us to be. Because as believers, as we grow up in the Christian, for example, on myself, growing up as a teenager, I knew what it was to do evangelism. I got involved in church because of my grandfather. So, you know, that spirit does come along with me. But yes, it's with me, but I still have a little bit of fear. If I have to do anything, then the fear creeps in. But by the time you open your mouth, in the name of Jesus, fear is gone. I wish all of us would understand that fear is always there. I believe so, even as pastor.